Euronet Plus Panorama is a weekly review of European news broadcast by our network of EU radio stations.
Hi, I'm Jo, and you're listening to Euronet Plus Panorama. The implications of the recent terrorist attack in Moscow are far from confined to Russia. But can Moscow and the West be persuaded to put their differences to one side and pool their counter-terrorism intelligence? Last Friday, the 22nd of March, four gunmen opened fire at a rock concert in Moscow. The attack killed some 140 people, with many more injured or unaccounted for. While radical Islamist group Islamic State immediately took responsibility for the Moscow attack, Vladimir Putin did not miss the opportunity to draw any links he could find between the gunmen and Ukraine. Yet this claim has been rejected both by Kyiv and by European leaders, as European Commission spokesperson Peter Stano stressed in a press briefing on Monday.
There is no indication, no proof that Ukraine was linked to this attack. And we call on the Russian authorities, do not use the terrorist attack in Moscow as a pretext, as a motivation to increase the illegal aggression against Ukraine, or as a pretext for increasing the internal repression of critics of the Russian regime.
But it seems inevitable that Putin will endeavour to capitalise on the situation. As the deputy head of the Polish Foreign Ministry, Andrzej Szena, points out to Polski Radio.
Vladimir Putin will seek to consolidate Russian society around him. He will seek to justify further war efforts against Ukraine and, preying on this tragedy, will try to convince Russian society of the legitimacy of continuing to wage a terrorist war against the free state of Ukraine.
Lithuanian political scientist Alvydas Medalinskas tells our colleagues at Žinių Radijas that the West's reaction to the Moscow attack shows two important things. The first is that, in spite of the prevailing political circumstances, condolences have been widely expressed for the families of the innocent Russian civilians caught up in the attack.
The second thing, concerning the rejection of any Ukrainian involvement, and this is important, is that the West has realized the mistake it made a couple of years ago before the outbreak of full-scale war. Putin had started accusing Ukraine of being fascists, thugs, and so on, and the West paid little attention. Oh, he's playing to his own internal audience here. I have been speaking to Western partners, and I've told them over and over again to reject these claims at every level, in parliament, in government, because if they don't, Putin will jump on this later on when talking about a full-scale war against Ukraine. That is what happened previously. So now that this has been denied, Putin has lost the ability to scapegoat Ukraine. This matters a great deal to Putin because he's looking for opportunities, for arguments for this large-scale mobilization in Russia to further his objectives in the war against Ukraine.
A fellow political scientist from nearby Estonia blames Vladimir Putin personally for this recent attack. In an interview with Kuku Radio, Kaarmo Tuur warns that such incidents will now undoubtedly happen again, as they show how powerless Putin is.
Any act of terrorism is always sad and terrible, but this is particularly sad and terrible in the sense that it demonstrates how powerless Russia currently is and therefore opens the door to everyone else who may want to do something similar there. What has happened shows that this is doable, that Russia is defenseless. This means that further actions of this type could result, maybe not in Moscow, maybe not in a concert hall, but the eyes of all those who want revenge on Russia have now lit up.
Another thing that is sad and terrible is the fact that this attack could have been prevented had the Kremlin taken warnings seriously. Earlier in March, the CIA received intelligence about a planned terrorist attack on a large gathering in Moscow. This prompted the State Department to issue a public warning to Americans in Russia, a warning that was also shared with the Russian authorities. Putin openly rejected this information, claiming the message was intended to intimidate and destabilize Russian society. This is a sad sign of the times, laments Bulgarian security expert Ivailo Ivanov in an interview with BNR.
Unfortunately, in the current geopolitical situation, the cooperation between different countries' intelligence services, which has worked very well over the years, hence the reduced terrorist threat, can no longer happen owing to a huge level of mistrust. We have seen this now on the Russian side with their disregard for the information provided. Because of this lack of trust, nobody is prepared to share sensitive information, because in so doing, the other side can discover the sources of this information or how it was obtained. Looking at terrorist acts that have been prevented in the past, the services that achieved this had devoted enormous resources to penetrating those terrorist organizations. They will not be prepared to share this intelligence with anyone they do not really trust.
This is a particular tragedy, given the increasingly radicalized context in which we find ourselves, as Ivanov points out.
The war in Gaza and the attack that Hamas carried out have given all these Islamist movements a global target again, dominance over the so-called West and its support for the Israeli state. And there is no doubt that the longer this conflict goes on in Gaza and the more footage we see coming out of there, the more this will lead to the radicalization of a section of the Muslim population.
Several EU countries have stepped up security in the wake of the Moscow attack. France, for one, is all too aware that there are only 4 months to go before the start of the Paris Olympics. Other countries, including Italy, Spain, and Norway, are imposing additional security measures over the Easter weekend, when significantly higher visitor numbers are expected. This whole tourism versus security dilemma is a delicate balance to strike. Would the most effective security guarantee not be the sharing of intelligence with Moscow? This question was put to European Commission spokesperson Peter Stano, who we heard from earlier.
It's very difficult to imagine what would be the basis of cooperation, but yes, in principle, the EU is one of the most responsible international players when it comes to joint action against terrorism. But let me recall one thing. I mean, this is not the first terrorist attack on Russian soil. So far, none of the major terrorist attacks in Russia have been clarified, investigated properly. So this leaves a lot of questions open also about the attitudes of the authorities.
With some member states tightening security, could this latest attack end up impinging the free movement of people within the Schengen area? The foreign ministers of Austria, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia and Slovenia met in Ljubljana this week to discuss a range of topics, including border security within the Schengen zone. Slovenian Foreign Minister Tanja Fajon notes that several Schengen states have set up border checks within the zone itself, mostly in the face of large numbers of migrants arriving along the Western Balkans route. She hopes these will be temporary, RTV Slovenia reports.
We all wish to see that our outside Schengen border is strong, it's working, that we could somewhere in the future restore our Schengen.
Meanwhile, just as some border controls are being tightened, others are being lifted. This coming Sunday, the 31st of March, in an unusual turn of events, Bulgaria and Romania's air and sea borders will join the Schengen system, but not their land borders. The two countries' Schengen membership process has long been at a standstill, chiefly due to the reservations of Austria and the Netherlands, which fear, among other things, increased illegal migration from Europe's southeastern corner. Talks are still dragging on for land-based transport, but Sofia and Bucharest are hopeful that this latest development is a step in the right direction. Catalin Predoiu, Romania's Home Affairs Minister, insists that despite their differences of opinion during this process, he and his Austrian counterpart, Gerhard Kahner, enjoy a positive working relationship. Radio Romania covers the story.
We are in constant contact with the Austrian Interior Ministry. I have personally had lengthy talks with Minister Kahner 3 times so far this year, most recently last week in Vienna. Our relationship is very good. We cooperate very well. border protection, fighting illegal migration, fighting cross-border crime. I propose to Minister Khanna to extend our cooperation beyond Schengen and to establish a very strong platform of international police cooperation with Austria. We're keen to fight both drug trafficking and human trafficking.
So that's all for this week. Don't miss our next weekly roundup of the news from across the Euronet Plus network.